This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
So President Biden just ordered a 180-day study on what it would do to the Supreme Court if they were to pack it, if they were to add more seats, if they were to propose term limits. What would it do? I mean, I could answer the question. It would just give Joe Biden the ability to secure Democratic rule. So the report is already done. They already know what it's about. They're just going to wait about 180 days before they put it out there. Right now, thanks to Donald Trump, we have a 6-3 conservative court. Maybe 5-4, depending on the issue and how John Roberts wants to rule. But let's stop. I can't stand people who are like, oh, he's a liberal. No, he's not. He's still conservative. He just rules a little bit differently. That is okay. This is what we are supposed to have happen with the Supreme Court, that they don't always just meet your ideological expectations, because they're not there to meet your ideological expectations unless your ideological expectations are determined by a very specific outlook on the law. And the vast majority of people out there don't have a judicial philosophy. They just have a philosophy of how they would like to see a certain case be ruled. And that's driven by your ideological perspective that has nothing to do with your judicial philosophy. Most people don't have a judicial philosophy. So right now we've got a very clear conservative majority. Yay. Before Trump, guess what we had? We've had liberal courts. We've had conservative courts. That's how it works. Just like we've had liberal presidents and conservative presidents. Liberal congresses, conservative congresses. Sometimes they've been a mix. But since right now the Democrats want total control over everything, including your thoughts, all while weirdly denouncing fascism and calling the other side Nazis, they want to take over the court. And so one of their dreams right now is to pack the court. Biden says the court nominations of late have been, quote unquote, getting out of whack. Don't know what that means, other than people who he doesn't want on the court have made it to the court. He's not specifically said yet whether he specifically supports court packing, which also means he hasn't come out against it. That's a cowardly way to talk about this. So instead, he punts with a study. Which to me, if I'm being honest, my guess is he will use this just to stall, just to say, hey, I said I was going to do this commission. I did this commission. Hopes people forget about it, quietly releases this, and does nothing. That is a perfect scenario for the left. And frankly, it's a perfect scenario for the right as well. Or excuse me, for the right and for the left. I mix those two up. It's because I'm sniffing the scent of the gel that's just seeping through the walls. It's just disgusting.
Oh, it's awful.
It's too much. It's toxic.
It's so cheap.
But what's best for this country is not a court that is packed. In fact, Joe Biden himself understood that back in 2005.
So let me describe in some detail. In the summer of 37, Roosevelt
details?
Had just come off a landslide victory over Alf Landon. He had a Congress made up of solid new dealers.
Yeah, I know.
But the 9 old men of the court were thwarting his agenda. In this environment, Roosevelt...
Okay, they were.
And remember this old adage about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Corrupted by power, in my view, unveiled his court packing plan. He wanted to increase the number of justices to 15, allowing himself to nominate those additional judges. Took an act of courage on the part of his own party institutionally to stand up against this power grab.
So the question then becomes, will Joe Biden have that confidence? Will he stand up to his own party? Because his party won't. His party is caving. They want total control. Will Joe Biden be brave? So far, he hasn't been. I'm hoping on this that he does. Because among the people who are decrying this move, you're not getting merely Republicans calling this out. You're getting liberal Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. He gave a speech, I think it was to Yale, some law school, a few days ago. And he said, I hope and expect that the court will retain its authority, which was hard won. But that authority, like the rule of law, depends on trust, a trust that the court is guided by legal principle, not politics. Structural altercation motivated by the perception of political influence can only feed that latter perception, further eroding that trust. Huh. He's right. I mean, he's on the left, but he's right. He's correct. And I hope people understand that. I hope people see through this. I really do. The panel will be led by Bob Bauer, who served as the White House counsel for President Obama, and Christina Rodriguez, a Yale Law School professor who served as Deputy Assistant Attorney General under, oh, hey, look, Obama again. I wonder how they're going to decide. Let's find out what else was trending.
What's trending in Pierce County?
So Tacoma PD were the ones who responded when Sheriff Ed Troyer of Pierce County called 911 to report the newspaper delivery person who threatened him. Now, at the time, remember, this man, he didn't know was a delivery driver, was going up and down in his car with his headlights turned off the driveways of Ed Troyer's neighbors and Ed Troyer himself. Ed Troyer didn't think that this was a newspaper delivery guy. He doesn't subscribe to a newspaper that gets delivered. And so Troyer ended up following this guy in his civilian vehicle, and they have some sort of altercation, verbal, not physical. And Troyer says this man threatened him. As a result, lots of officers show up. Tacoma PD were the point people. The officer who spoke to Ed Troyer at the scene was not wearing his body camera at the time, which is incredibly unfortunate. It happens, but it's unfortunate. The reason why this is so important is because Troyer says he didn't recant the fact that this driver threatened him, and the officer says that's what he heard, that he recanted the threat. So now we don't have any audio or video evidence to tell us exactly what happened. He wrote in his incident report, this officer, in the rush to respond to an officer needs help call, I mistakenly left my body-worn camera on the charger. Now, his name is out there. I don't usually name officers because they get harassed and doxxed, and I don't want to be a part of that. Now, this is a violation of their policy, but the department isn't going to punish this officer, which I think is the right move. The body cam program was implemented in December, and at that time, there were only 20 officers. Then everyone else, by late February, ended up getting their body camera. Now, this happened in late January, this incident, and they had, I believe it was a one-month period of, hey, if you screw up once or twice, we'll give you a pass. So we'll see. You know, we don't yet know what date he actually got his body. It doesn't matter to me. This is unfortunate because it allows people to further this lie about what happened that night. It seems to me it's pretty clear that the evidence so far that we have sides with Ed Troyer. So far. There's certainly no evidence to suggest that he went after this guy because he was black, which is just a made-up claim based on a bias. It was simply a mistake, and the driver happened to be black. There's no evidence that's been presented, none whatsoever, suggesting otherwise. The only one who is making the claim is the driver, and he's getting the help of the media. If this happened, if this exact incident happened before George Floyd, before the BLM movement, this wouldn't even be a real story. So keep that in mind. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Don't forget, I'll be the lead guest tonight on Fox News at night, about 9:15 on Fox News with Shannon Bream. Topic TBD. I don't even know the topic, but I'm sure it's going to be very, very important, and I'm going to be killing it.
You don't have hair gel in?
No, because I have, like, self-worth.
What's that? Never heard of it?
Exactly. I can tell by looking at your head. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
Hey, it's Friday, and you know what that means? Finally! With some movie theaters actually open and some movies finally coming out, I get to talk movies. This week, we get to talk about the sci-fi thriller Voyagers, starring Colin Farrell and Ty Sheridan. Earth is becoming uninhabitable, so they send a group of kids on a decades-long journey to a new planet in order to colonize it. But on this journey, as the kids become teens, they get a little bit smarter, and they start to realize that they're being drugged by drinking something called blue to keep their emotional and sexual desires, their feelings, at bay.
So they can control us, pacify us. They don't want us to reproduce naturally. They don't want us to have sexual relations.
So we don't feel what that feels like.
And so we don't overpopulate the ship to conserve food.
I don't care. I'm not drinking it.
But if they were being drugged without their knowledge, what else is a secret on the ship? They start to ask questions.
What else are they telling us?
Well, Christopher found a hidden compartment in the ship's plans.
Where is it?
Pod 23, unmarked, behind a wall.
What's inside?
I don't know yet.
Don't tell Richard you went off the blue.
He's going to force them back on it anyway.
Yeah, maybe. By then we'll know what it feels like.
What does it feel like? Has anything changed since you stopped?
Yes.
Voyagers is a slickly made film that feels a bit like Lord of the Flies in space. The storyline itself is really, really compelling, although it does set up some twists that don't quite pay off. That said, I think it works. The performances are really, really strong. I thought it was gorgeous to look at, and it does just enough with what could have been a stale rehash of familiar territory that does make it worth your time. The film is rated PG-13, which is about right, maybe a little bit too harsh, but, you know, around 13, you'll be fine. And I do recommend Voyagers. I actually found myself really pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed this film, because on paper, it does seem like it's going to go exactly where you think it's going to go in ways you know it's going to go. And it's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit deeper. And so I really did enjoy Voyagers. It's out now. I recommend it. What movie are you going to see this weekend? Will you go see Voyagers? Are you going into movie theaters yet? Or are you still chilling at home and doing video on demand? Let me know. Send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Your health.
So, this is kind of an interesting story. It's one that a little weird to me. A UW doctor says your mask that you would otherwise be wearing for COVID could help you with your spring allergies. Right now, we're right in the middle of, or we're starting pollen season. It's going to go on through July. Dr. Anya Lang, who is an allergy specialist at the UW, has seen patients, she says, that have been all like, hey, my symptoms concerning my normal allergies kind of going away, because I've been wearing my mask outdoors. And then they point to a study out of Israel that shows wearing a mask outdoors will protect you from some of the allergens.
We do know that they can help. They cannot completely prevent your exposure because airborne pollens are very prevalent. They can travel for hundreds of miles, but I think it could be helpful.
So she tells our sister station, Cairo Radio, that it might mean wearing your mask in situations where you normally wouldn't, such as on a trail where there are no other people but lots of pollen-producing trees. It seems to me that the only way that this kind of idea would work is if you literally wear your mask all the time. And even then, it's not really certain to work because no one wears a mask that tight. Because they're saying you don't even need just to wear like the N94 mask or an N95. Like, you can just wear your normal mask. But who's going to do that? The weather is nice. The hotter it gets, you're going to want to take off your mask. Who's going hiking with a mask on?
No one.
No one.
Not a soul.
The chances of you catching COVID outdoors is almost zero. It's almost zero. The outdoor transmission rate is like 0.1% or something. It's incredibly low. You would have to have someone with COVID cough in your face, lick your eyeball, spit in your nose, and then jab you with a COVID stick.
Okay, Alaska Airlines, I get it. You read the pamphlet.
It's very difficult to get it outdoors. It's almost impossible from a statistical standpoint. So no one's going to wear their masks. The people, can we talk about people who wear masks outdoors for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Okay. Can you stop? It's really annoying me because you know what? And here's the worst. I've said this before. I'm just walking and I've got my mask down when I am outside because I'm not a crazy person. And yet, people who are passing me by, even while jogging. So, as I'm walking and they're jogging, and we still maintain at least a 3-foot distance because it's usually on a sidewalk. They're maybe within the 3 feet of me for 1.7 seconds. They pull their mask up. What are you doing? That, to me, this is the equivalent of grabbing your purse when someone walks by and you're all like, they're sketchy looking.
Here, I got a worse one for
you. It's offensive.
I go on runs. You know this. You text me during them and I say, stop. I'm going on my jog. There's one lady I consistently pass every day. She doesn't bring a mask, yet every time somebody runs past her or walks past her, she turns the opposite way from them and then covers her mouth and nose with her hand. What is she doing?
At that point, just wear your mask. If that's your position.
Like, every single morning, she turns around and covers her face.
Maybe she's allergic to you and she sneezes when you. Maybe it's the gel in your hair.
Oh,
that's so disgusting and disturbing.
It's maybe like the fourth time. This what's trending.
I'm just saying, maybe that's she's allergic and she sneezes.
Well, I don't put gel in my hair to go on a run. I just roll
it
out of bed.
It never gets out. It never gets out. We know you just roll out of bed.
Exactly.
You don't even shower. No, we know. Or brush your teeth.
To go on a run. I do that when I all come back. But yeah, it's ridiculous. You're outside, people. Just chill.
Just stop. Okay, everyone. Let's breathe a little bit. Breathe in that pollen air. And by the way, I have worse allergies now, I feel like, than I've had before. And maybe that's COVID related.
Why is everything got to be COVID related?
Everything's COVID related and or racist. And she says it doesn't have to be an N95 mask. Just a standard surgical mask can block the size of pollen particles.
I think we all got used to seeing each other in masks and wearing them often. And I had patients who do report improvement and they're planning on, you know, wearing masks in the future more often.
Yeah, no, I'm out. I'm not wearing masks as... The second they say you don't have to wear them anymore to come into a business or whatever. Because, again, I don't want businesses to be put out because my refusal. I'm not going to be a jerk. The second I don't have to wear a mask anywhere, none. I do worry that at some point I might instinctively reach for a mask and put it on because of the muscle memory at this point. You've done it for a year, basically. You're going to just do it. And then I'm going to leave my apartment with it on. And people will be like, hey, you know, good for him. He's, and I don't want them to think that. No, 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 no. The second I don't have to, I'm done. I'm out. Full stop. Done. Out. Getting the vaccines fully. I'm out. Bam.
Looking forward to that for you. And I really hope that you do forget so that I can be the person who says, look at Jason Rantz doing the noble thing over there.
Like, no, I'm not noble. I'm Jason Rantz. Have you not heard of me?
Call you out in front of the office and everybody will be like, oh, look at Jason Rantz. Ha, ha, ha.
Good for him. I'll be like, no, stupid. I just forgot to take it off. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. Welcome back to the Jason Rancher on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. President Joe Biden this week announced some executive actions on guns, plus some legislative proposals that he is out there pushing, claiming that this is not an infringement on Second Amendment rights. However, he does want to ban assault weapons, which doesn't really mean anything, as well as banning high-capacity magazines, which could basically mean almost everything. At the same time, he is spreading some misinformation.
These bills, one, require background checks for anyone purchasing a gun at a gun show or an online sale. Most people don't know it. You walk into a store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want and no background check.
That, of course, is not True. Joining me on the line is Congressman Dan Newhouse of Washington's 4th District. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jason. Always good to be with you.
So before we get into some of the specifics, sort of big picture, what was your takeaway from his announcement?
Well, I can't think it comes under the heading of, you know, never let any kind of a tragedy go wasted. And they, again, unfortunately, are politicizing something that really was a terrible thing. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, devastating, senseless act of violence. And that's, you know, it's never okay for those things. But to politicize those things is never okay either. And so I don't think that taking this as an opportunity to further infringe on Second Amendment rights is the answer.
Well, he says he's not infringing on the Second Amendment, that any amendment has some limitations. He misused the example of not screaming fire in a crowded theater. It's always interesting to me that folks, when it comes to the Second Amendment, folks on the left say, well, there are reasonable restrictions. And yet when Republicans will say, okay, we'd like voter ID laws, and you say, no, you can't have restrictions on the right to vote.
Which is absolutely the opposite of what actions are being taken in a state like Georgia. If you look at the details of the legislation, it's actually increasing the availability and the ease of voting. So, yeah, you can't have it both ways in these things. But the bottom line is using these kind of tragedies to move an agenda, I think, is just wrong. And what we just heard the president say, that's just not true. You cannot buy a gun at a gun show without a background check. There's no loophole surrounding gun shows. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that you know, the American people hear and they believe it to be true and want us to take actions to fix it. And so I think what we see in these executive orders, and this being the latest example, I would call it an empty gesture. You know, these are things that would not do anything to solve the problem. But it helps, I guess, the president's base feel better that he's actually taking strong action. And that's, you know, I would like to see something happen that would actually solve the problem, if there's a problem, let's fix it. But let's not be throwing out things that just are not true.
So he wants to ban assault weapons. What do the Democrats mean when they say assault weapons?
That's a good question. They're always saying these AR-15s are, you know, that's an M16. Well, the truth of that matter is they're nothing like an M16.
Yeah.
They look like one, but their actions are not even close. The military does not use AR-15s, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're a different machine, and so they're semi-automatic, just like most every pistol or rifle, yep, or many of them that are in service today, owned by millions of law-abiding citizens. And so, again, that is using a misconception to further an agenda. And I don't think that that's being truthful with the American public.
Well, another thing he wants to do, and this is just so disingenuous, he wants to get rid of the PLCAA. It's the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which essentially prevents a gun maker from being sued for crimes committed with guns that they sell. And, you know, he says it just gives these companies blanket immunity, which, of course, is not true. But it is the equivalent of saying you should sue Toyota because someone used a Toyota Corolla to run over people.
That's, you know, that's, if you carry that logic out to the end, that's exactly what that means. Or a baseball bat manufacturer, or, you know, scissors or kitchen knives or any kind of weapon you can think of, which should be, you know, follow that same logic. They should be held responsible as well. So that, you know, that, that just doesn't make sense, and I think people understand that.
Yeah. Congressman Dan Newhouse joining me on the line. We're talking about President Joe Biden's executive actions on guns. And, you know, you point out that if we identify a specific problem, you would certainly like to tackle it. We are obviously seeing a surge in gun crime. It's not gun crime committed by legal gun owners. We're seeing criminals, gang members in lots of cases, depending on where it is you're looking, who are the ones going after and using guns illegally. So what are some potential fixes to this problem?
Well, One of the things that is said over and over again and seems to fall on deaf ears is let's enforce the laws that we have on the books. And, you know, you can put all kinds of restrictions and restraints and making it harder and harder for law-abiding citizens to acquire firearms. Criminals don't care about that kind of thing. They're going to find them one way or the other. And so I think that we continue to try to solve issues using the wrong means and putting, you know, whether the folks on the other side of the aisle like this or not, being able to own firearms, that is a constitutionally protected right. And we cannot, if we uphold the oath that we all take, we cannot infringe upon that right. So I think, you know, we've done some things when we were in charge. We did a lot of things to tighten up the mix program so that we would do a better job of making sure that those background checks are done efficiently and well. I think there may be some other things we could do to make sure that we have communication between all the law enforcement agencies. That's who we should be listening to. What do they see? What would be tools that they see would be helpful to them? And instead of just trying to come forward with these, now I would call them feel-good things that really aren't going to solve the problems, if there are.
Speaking of problems, let's just quickly turn our attention to the border, where, again, this week we got some numbers coming from the Biden administration showing 172,000 migrants had contact with border officials in the month of March. And that's obviously the ones that we encountered. This doesn't count folks who we have not encountered. That is an incredible increase. 100% increase over February. His own report will obviously dispute his silly talking point that this is cyclical in nature, that this always happens around this time of year, it's seasonal. But of course, they're blaming Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's just, you know, Trump's been out of office for what, three months now, and the policies and the statements that this administration has made, I don't know how you can argue that that has not encouraged people from south of the border to try to get into our country.
They literally say it. They literally tell us that's why they're coming.
Absolutely. A lot of them are wearing shirts that say Biden on them. And so, you know, words matter. And the message that they're getting is saying, please, you know, we will allow you to come in. And the actions are that they're taking at the border are equate to that. And so when you hear things like today, I heard that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said that, you know, things are under control, and she was praising the president for his policies. And then you look at the news reports and pictures from many members of Congress who have gone down to the border over the last couple of weeks showing us all of these young people, kids, in conditions that you or I wouldn't want our kids to be forced to be under. And then they're trying to tell us that everything's okay. And it truly is a failure of the policies of this administration. Mm-hmm. I just heard yesterday that they're actually considering finishing portions of the wall in order to close some of the gaps. So I think that in itself, if they actually do that, you know, that's an admission on their part that their policies are in fact failing. And the numbers tell us that they are.
Yeah, I would love to go full circle and then blame Trump for not finishing the border wall. I can't wait for that.
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be amazing? We've been talking with Congressman Dan Newhouse of Washington's 4th Congressional District. Thank you so much for stopping by, as always. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jason. Always a pleasure. And like I said, anytime.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. Welcome Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. I do really appreciate you guys tuning in this week and supporting all of my reporting and stories that I do over at KTTH.com. This week, we had talked a lot about, obviously, the Seattle Public School Board decision to, you know, forcefully tell the mayor's office, you will not sweep any of the encampments around our schools. I don't care if it's on campus or even adjacent. We're against all of those sweeps. And obviously that got a lot of attention both locally and nationally. I did Tucker Carlson, for example, this week talking about it. But there was another story that I covered that I still think is as important because it goes to some cultural issues. It has to do with Village Theater and their decision to ask applicants specifically about how they're going to tackle toxic whiteness in the musical theater genre, whatever in the world that means. Well, one of the other issues that I talk about in the story, although we didn't spend that much time talking about it on air, was the fact that it also asked as a part of the application about pay history. What was your past pay history? In Washington State, that is illegal to ask. Now, I don't actually agree with that being an illegal question to ask. I don't like that law, but it is, in fact, the law. Well, finally, after 2 days, I noticed last night, they took out that question from the application, so that's no longer there. However, that doesn't mean I'm going to let up on this story. In fact, on Fox News Primetime with guest host Mark Stein last night, I had the opportunity to discuss this and so much more.
Broadway theater has been shut down for over a year now, but the real plague afflicting the legitimate stage is apparently the same old toxic whiteness. According to prospective employers in Washington State at the Village Theater. We're always glad to see Seattle radio host Jason Rance. Jason, nothing, no satire, no parody can match the reality of our lives. What's up with this toxic whiteness in Washington Theater?
Yeah, so at Village Theater in Everett and Issaquah, two cities in Washington State, they're looking for a new artist to teach kids as part of their program. And one of the questions that was initially on the application was, how do you plan to disrupt the toxic whiteness of the musical theater genre? And if you can't answer that question, perhaps you're not able to work there. Now, of course, as soon as I started asking questions about whether or not that's appropriate, they took it down from their application. They said, oh, it was a total error. We didn't mean to put it up. Which seems like a very specific question to accidentally put up on an application. And what it essentially means is there's just too many white people in musical theater and they'd like to see less of that. It is a message that is pushed by middle-aged white liberals who feel guilty about historical wrongs that they had literally nothing to do with, of which they're pretending haven't been condemned.
Yeah, but this isn't even an historical wrong, not compared with Hollywood or television or whatever. There were more opportunities for black actors and black singers and black choreographers and black songwriters on the stage than there were in anything. I mean, we're about 100 years, I think, next month from the anniversary of Shuffle Along, which was the first big black musical on Broadway. So it's rubbish. These guys know nothing about the business they're in, which is what makes it so boring. They couldn't produce I got to ask you about this other. While we're doing these musicals, the Chinese are apparently making a state musical to deflect criticism of their treatment of Uyghurs. So these Uyghurs will not be in camps having their body parts harvested, but will apparently be singing and dancing on stage. Is that the idea?
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is toxic musicals. I'll give you that. The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Genocide, I guess. I mean, look, this is a silly and unnecessary ruse. No one is stupid enough to fall up for this. And it just seems really costly. This is not a good ROI. Why would you put on a musical when you can slide into the DMs of like LeBron James or any other NBA star on Twitter and just get them to tweet out some propaganda calling you misinformed on the Uyghur genocide? Mm-hmm. They'll put out a tweet that says, hey, these are not work camps. These are actually drama camps. And they're just learning in between the genocidal acts and in between the forced sterilization. They're doing performances of cats. It is, of course, absurd. They should stop doing this nonsense. And I hope everyone calls them out. But of course, you're not allowed to call out China for literally anything without being labeled a xenophobe.
Thank you for that, Jason. I have to say, though, my favorite dictatorial musical of all time was by Saddam Hussein, who adapted his bodice ripper of a romantic novel for the Iraqi stage, and he called it, it was called Zabiba and the King, and Zabiba was meant to represent this nubile woman representing the Iraqi people, and then the king was cruel Saddam Hussein. Thank you very much, Jason Rajmus. Always
learn something new from Mark.
If you want to watch the video of that appearance or any of my appearances, I was on America Report earlier today. Later tonight, I'll be on Fox News at Night with Shannon Bream in the 9 o'clock hour. I hope you'll tune in. All you have to do is go to my YouTube page, become a subscriber. It's absolutely free. You get access to all the videos that I do. And I believe they're commercial free, too. There you go. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link to my Twitter feed, my Facebook feed, Instagram, and of course, YouTube. I post all my videos absolutely everywhere, so you'll be able to catch them on all of my channels. So text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Later tonight, 9 p.m., I'll be on Fox News at Night with Shannon Bream. Until next time, enjoy your weekend. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.